Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be on the show today.
Fred.
Good to be here, as always.
Fred Jackson and Dr. Ray Pritchard.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
How you doing in our outpost there in Kansas City, Kansas?
Well, you know what? If you're going to play golf, better come right now, because looks like we might have some rain and wind coming this afternoon.
Is that right? Some storms coming in?
Got some. Yeah, summer storms, because it's 80 degrees already, heading up to 90, but we got some weather on the way. Otherwise, it's all good here in Kansas City.
So my guess is you're going to do your daily bike ride immediately after this program.
I'm going to sign off and grab my bike and hit the trail.
We appreciate everybody listening to AFR and tuning into this program. Walker, if they want to join us on what Ed Battagliano calls that their internet, how can they do that?
Yes, they can go to our website, AFR.net, and listen live there. They can also catch our podcast at AFR.net. And then the other way to listen is through the app, the AFR app on smartphones and tablet devices. And, of course, we're on social media. Today's Issues on Facebook and YouTube.
So Facebook and YouTube, Today's Issues, go there and watch us before we're canceled.
Yes.
Hopefully that
watch won't, while you can.
Hopefully that won't happen. But a lot of pressure on the social media platforms to cancel conservatives altogether, and Christians in particular. But we will. For now, we're on Facebook or YouTube, and we're glad to be there and glad that those companies host our program on their platforms. Hey, one thing real quickly before we get into this. Some good news, Fred. Some great news that Fred has to share. I know we all look forward to that when we have it. Yesterday, we were talking about the numbers related to COVID-19. And I had mentioned, I'd ask you, Walker, what percentage of the deaths related to this were either in assisted living or nursing homes. Mm-hmm. You said what was the number?
40%.
40%, roughly 40%. And I had made the observation that I separate those numbers from the general public just because that's good information to know. Where's this most dangerous? It's most dangerous to elderly, and they're the most vulnerable. Well, we did get one email, and it bothered me. Usually one email doesn't bother me, but this gentleman who said he wouldn't listen anymore, so I don't even know if he's listening anymore, he interpreted what I said basically as that I don't care about people in those facilities just because I said, let's separate those numbers. And I did not mean at all to insinuate that. God cares about everybody from unborn babies to the elderly and the old folks. Mm-hmm. And we should too as Christians. Mm-hmm. And I do.
Sure.
And so I didn't want that to be. I'm sorry that was interpreted that way. I guess if he emailed us, maybe other people thought the same thing. Mm-hmm. Just as one more comment on that, having said that, and then feel like you got to say something to get the last word. Mm-hmm. Human nature. I will say this: it's always bothered me too when people take one thing that you say that they disagree with, and then they say, "I'm not listening to you anymore," or "I'm not supporting you." Every once in a while, we'll get a folks to write us because a fellow the other day wrote and said, "Well, y'all supported Kavanaugh and he's let us down. Therefore, I'm not going to support you financially anymore." And those are rare, but I mean, I just don't understand. We've been around 40 plus years fighting for God and country and our Constitution and our freedoms, and you say one thing wrong sometimes, and people say, "I'm writing you off,
canceled.
You're canceled." So, anyway, I would just say that I apologize if I came across yesterday as not caring about people in nursing homes or assisted living, as if their deaths don't count in the COVID-19 discussion, and certainly they do. But I do think it's fair in the broad general public health scenario to look at where the people are the most vulnerable and how we protect them, but at the same time, allowing Americans, the rest of us, to get back to our lives, right, and our families and our schools and the economy and all those things. So you're listening to today's issues on AFR. So, Fred, the good news is?
Well, let's zoom back to the 1800s first. In something that was called the Blaine Amendment was brought in this country. And the basic design, the reason for it was there was opposition to taxpayers' money going to Catholic schools. So that's why the Blaine Amendment came about. Well, today's decision out of the United States Supreme Court dealt the Blaine Amendment a fatal blow, perhaps. And what we're talking about is that the United States Supreme Court ruled today that taxpayer funding, taxpayers' money, can go to religious schools. Now, this is a case based in Montana. In Montana, they developed a system where they would give $150 credit to anyone who donated to private scholarship organizations. Now, a wrinkle came in when they said, okay, the belief was that included religious schools. And a judge initially said, yes, it would include religious schools. Then the Montana Supreme Court said, oh, no, because of the Blaine Amendment, no money, taxpayers' money, can go to a religious school to help pay the tuition for a religious school. Well, this morning, in a 5-4 ruling, with Chief Justice John Roberts ruling with the conservatives in this case, he said no, and this is what he said. A state need not subsidize private education, but once a state decides to do so, it cannot disqualify some private schools solely because they are religious. Now, that is a key statement. It is being viewed as a major victory for school choice in this country, because there has been a battle royale going on for years in this country, mostly led by the teachers' unions, public schools, Democrats, against school choice. In other words, taxpayers being able to take their own money, and instead of being forced to contribute to public schools, no, I want my money going to this school over here that I think is better and doing a better job and will do a better job to educate my kids. So this is an absolutely huge ruling. The fight on this was led by the Beckett Fund. And just a short note that came out a moment ago, bye-bye Blaine. That's what the Beckett Fund is saying, just ruled that anti-religious Blaine amendments are unconstitutional, making it clear that religious organizations cannot be treated as second-class citizens when it comes to widely available public benefit programs. This is a huge ruling.
Walker?
Yeah, this is great, because in the past, we had a similar case last year before the Supreme Court regarding grants to build, for example, this was a playground in, I think, Michigan, or another state, but nonetheless, similar case. But
a playground on a church?
Yeah, it was a church. Whether a church could qualify, it was a preschool, whether they qualified for a grant from the government to pay for the playground. But this is great news, because Christians, as they say, or as I said earlier before the show started, Christians pay taxes too, and people who attend these private schools
or
do
Jewish
too.
Jewish people. Or,
well, yeah, all people pay taxes, so I don't think...
Who want to send their kids to a Jewish school, for example.
Yeah, I don't think private schools should be disqualified because of their religious beliefs from grants and other taxpayer dollars. So this is a good move, and we need school choice across the country, and I think this is going to help really bolster school choice.
Right.
Well, number one, we've been on an emotional roller coaster with the Supreme Court over the last week and a half. Mm-hmm. We had that gay rights thing that came out, and then the abortion ruling. And then suddenly today, boom, we get Justice Roberts on the right side of the issue. As Fred said, it's close, 5-4, but doesn't matter. They came down in favor of Jewish schools, Catholic parochial schools, Lutheran schools, and there are tons, thousands and thousands of evangelical Christian schools from coast to coast. And this is also going to benefit just general all-purpose public private schools across America. So it is a very huge victory. And I'm thinking the last few months, guys, public education has just gone upside down because of this pandemic, and who knows what the schools are going to do not that many weeks from now. So this ruling is going to be a great benefit to parents who want to put their kids in any type of private school. And thank you, Justice Chief mm-hmm. Justice Roberts, for coming down on the right side of the issue for once. Mm-hmm.
And the other four justices, I guess, were Gorsuch, Thomas, Alito, and Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're listening to, well, good news.
Yes.
Good news or great news there by the Supreme Court. Next story, Fred.
Next story, get an image in your mind of Mount Rushmore, okay?
Never been there, have you?
No, but I've seen plenty of images. I'd love to go someday.
Have you been, Walker?
No.
No.
Fred?
No.
I mean, Ray?
Yes, several times. Yeah. They call it the Shrine of American Democracy. All you guys ought to go. It's fantastic.
I'd love to go. I'm going to go sometime.
Yeah. All right, so you got the image, at least, of Mount Rushmore, whether you've been there or not. President is going there this weekend to celebrate July 4th. It's going to be a fireworks display, et cetera, et cetera. Well, last night, the Democrat National Committee, this is the organization
right.
that basically runs the Democratic Party.
Right.
This isn't just a Democrat.
Right.
This is the organization that runs the Democratic right. Party. It put out this tweet. Now, it seems whatever the president does, they're going to be against. So here's the quote from the tweet. Trump has disrespected Native communities time and again. He's attempted to limit their voting rights and blocked critical pandemic relief. Now he's holding a rally glorifying white supremacy at Mount Rushmore, a region once sacred to tribal communities.
So that was the Democrat National Committee?
That's the Democrat National Committee wow. put that out.
That by President Trump going to Mount Rushmore for a 4th of July celebration, that is considered a celebration of white supremacy?
Or Mount Rushmore itself is
yeah.
a symbol of white supremacy. That's what they're saying.
How is that even possible? You got four of the greatest presidents in American history. You got Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, and what, Teddy Roosevelt,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's hard to put forth the energy to argue against stupidity. You know, what do you say to something that's so absurd?
Right.
But the fact that this is this isn't some left-wing blogger, okay, out there. This is the Democrat National Committee. So it was thought out, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It was planned, and now they pulled it.
They pulled it pretty quickly because they just were hit with a firestorm. Jason Rance is a radio host. This is what he said. The Democrats think Mount Rushmore is a display of white supremacy. There's no saving this country if Biden gets elected. Now, what he's addressing there is the thinking now, not only of some individual Democrats and some governors, but now the Democratic National Committee, referring to Mount Rushmore as a symbol of white supremacy.
Yeah, as we said last week when we talked about, or over the past few weeks, we talked about the rioters and the looters tearing down statues, no matter what the statues stand for. These people are against, they just want to rip up American history and start over from scratch. They want to start their own country from scratch, and they hate America. So this isn't about racism. This isn't about our past. Well, it is about our past. It's about America and how we were founded on Judeo-Christian beliefs, and they want to completely wipe that out and start over.
Can we find these people an island somewhere where they can go and start over their own progressive, quote, progressive civilization? This is just, that's offensive, what the Democrat National Committee did, and it's Also, I would like to see, has the Biden campaign released a statement? Or no. Joe Biden needs to be asked about this. President Trump and the Republicans are asked about, you know, things all the time that are sometimes controversial. I would like to see the. I would like to ask Joe Biden if he supports what the Democrat National Committee tweeted out right there. They also lost in that, or maybe not lost in that, but the white supremacist celebration. So, again, to review, the Democrat National Committee, and they've taken it down, but they had it up for a while, a tweet that, read it again, Fred, because they say, too, that the president is trying to do things to Native Americans.
Yeah, Trump has disrespected Native communities time and again.
Okay, how's that?
Yeah, I'd like to know.
Yeah. Secondly, what else has he done?
He's attempted to limit their voting rights.
Okay, so the Trump administration has tried to limit voting rights of
and block critical pandemic relief.
Okay.
That's not true. None of that's true.
No.
Now he's holding a rally glorifying white supremacy at Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I tell you what, these people, these far left radicals, they feel like now they can say and do anything. Mm-hmm. They are on a rampage, and they're canceling people. They're getting companies to bow the knee immediately to whatever their demands are, and their ultimate goal is to overthrow Western civilization.
Yeah,
quite frankly, and certainly the United States of America.
And this is just the latest example, and lest you think this is just one wingnut working late last night at the DNC. You've got to combine this with what's going on in Democrat-controlled cities in this country. I mean, stop and think about yesterday the announcement from Mayor Bill de Blasio of New York. He announced yesterday he's cutting the police budget there by $1 billion, not million, $1 billion. He's taken $1 billion away from that police department, and he's going to give it to a bunch of social service programs, community programs.
I don't know how these people get elected. This is baffling that we have, in these areas, there's the majority of the citizens, or at least the people who vote, that vote for these.
Or they believe like this.
Yeah, this is insanity. And to your point, Dad, a couple weeks ago, I don't really feel bad for the people in New York.
Nah.
Especially the people who voted for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I do feel bad for the people who didn't vote for it.
That's true.
But they're in a minority, and they've known that.
I feel bad for the cops. I mean, let's suppose you're walking the beat in Queens, okay? And it's, you know, this is your city. These are your people. So how do you feel today knowing that the mayor wants to cut $1 billion? I mean, why would anybody want to be a cop in New York City when your mayor has soldier support down the river like this?
Well, it's a good point, Ray. This is happening in other cities, big cities all across America: Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles. Los Angeles Sheriff's Department is now, that's different than the LAPD, but they're reacting. The law enforcement folks are reacting, you know, aghast at what's going on here, but. You know, if I'm a New York City policeman, I'm looking to get out as fast as I can.
49% increase in officers filing for retirement in New York. 49% increase.
Good.
Yeah. Ray, would you say, I mean, just looking at this, common sense says that de Blasio, the mayor of New York, is for more lawlessness.
Yeah.
Now, whether he's for it or not, Tim,
that's the inevitable result, right? You cannot take $1 billion out of the police budget and expect things are going to get better or even stay the same. New York City is about to descend into lawlessness. And so, Fred, I don't blame any of these police officers. If you're close to retirement, you better get out now while you can. I don't know. What an awful situation.
It's going to turn into Chicago. Well,
It already is getting worse.
It already is getting worse every day. I've been watching the uptick in violent crime, vandalism, going up in New York City just since the riots took place a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned Seattle a moment ago. There have now, since the radicals, the far left radicals, set up their little chop zone there, two people have been killed in the last 2 weekends. Now, probably what you haven't heard is that both victims were teenagers. They were young black kids that were killed.
No, I didn't know that.
And to the larger point on this, it is the minority communities that are going to be affected the most by these cuts.
And the poor neighborhoods.
And a lot of folks, let's face it, in black communities and the Hispanic communities are the ones who voted in favor of these Democrat leaders. These leaders are turning against the minorities.
Well, and they're not upholding their oath of office to protect the citizens of Seattle. That's one of the most fundamental parts of the oath of office, is that you're going to actually do one of the most basic functions of government, and that is to protect the citizens. And they're not even doing that in Seattle. And Fred, you made a good point the other day in the hallway about how imagine if it were MAGA hat wearing conservatives, and we decided that we were going to take over with weapons. We were going to take over a part of downtown Dallas and turn it into MAGA zone.
You'd be shut down immediately.
Yeah, they would send in the SWAT. That there would be no chance of that happening.
Yeah.
But here we are. They're going on a month of running their own little country within Seattle.
Yeah, but I will say this. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Americans in these big cities who believe in these, quote, progressive political ideas. So to that extent, I don't feel sorry for them because they're getting what they vote for. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? De Blasio, I don't know if he would be reelected again or win his. But look, the people in Chicago, they elected Mayor Lightfoot. She's a far, far lefty, and she's not doing squat about the violence in Chicago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Los Angeles, their mayor said he's slashing the police department's budget substantially. You know what? And they're doing it now in Minneapolis. The city council of Minneapolis voted unanimously to disband the police department.
Get rid of it all.
That's how these people think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then they've gone out and hired their own security team at taxpayer expense.
Yeah, right. $4,500 a day.
You can't make this stuff
per
up.
City council person.
No.
That's great. The world's turned upside down in the last few months in the USA. And we're going to have a stark contrast when the November election comes.
Mm-hmm.
November 3rd, is it? Between law and order and lawlessness.
Yes.
And so I know that all the polls show former Vice President Biden ahead, sometimes by double digits, over the president. But first of all, I don't believe the margins are that large. I do think there's too many polls showing the former Vice President Biden ahead of Trump to disbelieve all of them. Okay, I will say that. And President Trump's had some rough waters the last couple of months with the economy, COVID-19, social unrest. And then he hadn't helped himself with a couple things that he's done. However, I think the president can come back.
Mm-hmm.
He can come back by promoting the law and order message. And also, the economy seems to be rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a long way between now and November. And so things could turn around. For him. And we've been a 50-50 country for the last, two decades almost, since the Hanging Chads. The Hanging Chads of Florida, and I'm not talking about a singing group. I think we all remember that. Anyway, we will return momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family, on American Family Radio.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
To think that as we see things continue to ramp up, it'll become more and more apparent how much we need one another in the body of Christ. That we will see ourselves facing things not too dissimilar from what the first century believers faced.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting degree to 49595. That's degree to 49595.
L'Oreal, the makeup company, will no longer use words like whitening and lightening on their products. The decision comes after they received backlash for selling products to lighten skin. Johnson & Johnson also pledged to discontinue some of their Neutrogena and Clean & Clear products advertised as dark spot reducers in Asia and the Middle East. It's all part of an effort by companies across the nation to earn the approval of Black Lives Matter. Hulu, the web streaming service, announced they had removed an episode of The Golden Girls. Rose and Blanche appeared wearing mud masks. Apparently, someone at Hulu thought the ladies were in blackface. Disney is getting rid of Splash Mountain. Eskimo Pies and Uncle Ben's are changing their packaging. Gone with the wind, now gone with the wind. And it won't be long before a woke dermatologist decides that anyone who tries to get rid of those dark spots is a racist. Come on, folks. We're better than this, America. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. we are going on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. I called yesterday. Mount Vernon is open. The Bible Museum is open. Things are reopening in our nation's capital. The sites are, so we're looking forward to our September tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. We call these spiritual heritage tours, and we do have a few seats available. Just a few seats remain. This is September the 16th through the 20th. And so if you want more information on the tour, you would like to look into going with us, with other listeners from all over the country, simply go to spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. I'm Tim with Walker, Ray, and Fred. One other note, just to close out my comments before the break, I was talking about the polls. Almost all the polls show Biden ahead of President Trump. It just generally, okay. Another thing you have to consider before November is that Biden right now is enjoying his basement, and he doesn't have to really take responsibility for anything because he just sits down there, does a few interviews here and there. He doesn't do press interviews, he doesn't do press conferences. By the way, it's been like 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do press con. He'll do a one-on-one interview with somebody that they've already worked out questions.
Yep.
Right, and hope that he survives that, and he struggled with those, as we've seen. So, when Biden has to come out of the basement and start doing real campaigning, and talking to the press. I know the press is going to be, you know, all in his favor for the most part. But he will drop. His numbers will drop probably 5 points after he's been out of the basement, just because we'll be reminded of some of his shortcomings.
Yeah.
Okay. So that will happen. So the race will tighten, and as I say, we've been a 50-50 country for a couple of decades now, so I don't expect that to change in the fall. It'll probably be a really, really close presidential election. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Sandy Rios joins us most Thursdays during this time slot, Tuesdays rather, and she's here with us now. Sandy, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing
guys.
Well. Doing well, yourself?
All of you. Yeah. I'm doing good. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Okay, I got a question for you and Ray.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
So
okay.
Between the two of you, certainly somebody, hopefully somebody will come up with a good answer.
Maybe.
My question is this. I didn't even tip Ray off on this question, but we were talking here in the studio in Tupelo while Ray couldn't hear us about what was going on in these big cities, Sandy, across the country. And I'll ask you this question first, and then Ray can comment. Let's take your former hometown of Chicago, for example, okay?
Yes.
We see the violence and the crimes and the murder rates and all these things. They keep increasing. These things keep getting worse. And my question is, why do the people in these big cities keep voting for the same far left mayors and government officials year after year after year after year when these things are only getting worse? Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's a real practical reason why up until this point they have, and that is because, for instance, in Chicago, a number of years ago, a black pastor friend of mine, Hiram Crawford Sr., he was a towering giant in the city, loved him so much, him and his family. He had like 6 boys, and Mother Crawford was what we used to call his wife. He told me one time privately when I was interviewing him and off the air, he told me that the Democratic Party pays the pensions of the black pastors in the black community. So there was a financial incentive for them to introduce Democratic candidates to support them because it was a personal interest to them. That's the first time I'd ever heard that. And so all those years then, it's just been corruption in the black community, I think, that's kept that going, because the people have suffered so much. I can tell you firsthand, I've had calls from black listeners in Chicago when I was on radio there just weeping. I remember one woman called me. She said, the kids, our kids, I look in their eyes and they're just soulless. They're soulless. It's like there's no humanity there. How did it come to this? And black moms, black grandmothers are losing their kids, and they have been for years. I honestly wonder, Tim, if it's not going to be a bridge too far now. I saw a report of a lot of black older gentlemen. Well, not necessarily older, but in the hood. And they were driving around showing whoever was interviewing them the ruins in their neighborhood. Not from these riots. I'm talking about the neglect. They've had it. And I think it's possible. You might see something different this year. We might see something different. I hope so.
Right.
Well, in addition to everything that Sandy laid out, I would just add, Republican Party has just laid down, and I'm talking about the city of Chicago and Cook County in general, just laid down for decades, and they've gone along with the deal because the fix has been in from the top to the bottom. And that whole Chicago system, as Sandy knows, that was set up decades ago. And I think back to the days of old Mayor Daley, the old man, he wouldn't put up with what's happening in Chicago today, because the system was organized. And well, you remember what happened in 1968 with the demonstrators in 1968. The mayor would not put up with what's happening now in the city of Chicago. So there's been no effective political opposition. And I think Sandy's right. I think we're getting very close to a tipping point in Chicago, in New York, in some of these big urban areas. People just go, we're not going to put up with this anymore, especially like we were talking, Sandy, earlier about New York cutting $1 billion out of the budget for the police in New York City. At some point, decent-minded people, even, let's say, good liberals are finally going to say enough is enough is enough, and maybe they're going to take their city back. I hope that happens sooner rather than later.
Well, you know what that reminds me of? Have you guys talked about that couple in St. Louis?
Go ahead. Talk about it.
Well, there were 300 Black Lives Matter protesters who invaded this gated community, and they broke down the iron gate and marched through, and they came right by this couple's house. The couple and their family were sitting outside eating. And, you know, there's varying reports on what was said, but the couple says they were threatened, and they ran, called 911, and grabbed their guns. So the man is outside of his house, you know, carrying this long gun, and she has a pistol. And it's kind of a standoff. Well, so what happened was, you would think, well, look, it's their house, and it's a gated community, and they've got 300 people, you know, standing outside their house yelling at them while they're trying to have dinner. This is serious, right? But the chief of, I believe it's the chief of police or the mayor, I wish I could recall, the tweet was in complete support of the protesters. I can't believe these protesters would have to be faced, by armed citizens when they're just merely trying to protest.
Where were these protesters ultimately going? Do we know that?
The neighborhood was the neighborhood where the mayor. Okay, so it wasn't. It was.
They were going to the mayor's house.
Yes. Right. Yep.
Oh my.
And that's
word.
Okay. That's okay with whoever the official was that tweeted that she was appalled that that protesters would have to be met with citizens with guns.
A lot of it is all how something's framed, and with the cell phones now, with the cameras, and with the extremely biased media, it's better to so you get the image. I'm seeing the fellow right now, the homeowner, and so you show them, right, with brandishing guns.
Yes.
You don't turn the camera around and show 300 people in a mob standing
right
in front of somebody's private residence.
Yes, and Tim, I didn't really make, I didn't land the plane on my own point. I just realized I did not say that the couple are, ironically, they are both attorneys who allegedly work in civil rights, and they're all about the Black Lives Matter movement. They think it's great. So they're apologizing all over themselves for, but they are saying,
apologizing?
We were scared to.
What are they apologizing?
Well, that, in the sense that, but we support the Black Lives, we support, that kind of thing. But we felt threatened, and so
it's kind of like the they're brandishing guns to defend their own home and lives. Perhaps they don't know what these 300 people are going to do. They've broken through a gated community, roaming the street, and then you have the city councilman in Minneapolis voting to get rid of the police department all at the same time while they're paying for private security detail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With government money, right?
Yes.
Yeah. you just can't make this stuff up.
No.
It's what's the radio talk show host that invented the phrase liberalism is a mental disorder?
Mm-hmm.
Savage, I think
could
he
be.
Was,
oh,
I think,
yeah.
I think he's the one that came up with that liberalism as a mental disorder.
You know, the couple there in St. Louis.
Yeah,
I think that's their banner. Their philosophy is we support Black Lives Matter, but not in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
That's what it comes to. Hey, we're all for you, but you broke down the gate in our neighborhood, so we're getting the guns.
Well, that reminds me, Fred, you may remember who this was. It was a black professional NBA player, mm-hmm, who was, waxing eloquent about Black Lives Matter and, the kneeling and all of it. Then suddenly he's tweeting, and his neighborhood, he lives in a really exclusive neighborhood, and suddenly protesters broke into his neighborhood, and he's tweeting, go back to where you live.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah, that was a former ESPN guy, and he was in Minneapolis, I think. And he tweeted a picture of a building in Minneapolis burning when they were having the riots, and he said, burn it all to the ground.
Yeah.
And then like 2 hours later, they come to his neighborhood, and he tweets, go away.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't
that's
come
it,
to my
that's
neighborhood.
It, that's it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is what happens when the police aren't responding, they're late responding, or they're told to stand down, you're going to have citizens that just use their Second Amendment rights to take care of themselves, and I don't blame them. So,
What would have happened had this guy had to start shooting people? Don't you think he would have been in prison?
Depends on if it was justified or not.
Yeah.
I think you could make a good case that 300 people breaking into your home is life-threatening.
And busting down the gate to get into your...
Yeah, and they threatened to harm his family, according to what he said.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, with Walker, Fred, Sandy, and Ray, we invite you to watch the show if you'd like to on Facebook or YouTube. We do post the stories that we discuss here on our Facebook page. There's one other topic you wanted to ask Sandy about.
Sandy, have you heard about this Mount Rushmore tweet from the DNC?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Yes, I have. I talked about it this morning. Yes, I've heard about it.
This is the official Twitter account of the DNC now comparing Mount Rushmore as a symbol of white supremacy.
Yeah, and the 4th of July celebration with fireworks. All of it. That's white supremacist.
This is where the thinking of the Democrat Party is today. Right?
Yes, they're out of their mind. I mean, there was another radio host, Jason Rance. I don't know him, but I'll quote him. He says, the Democrats think Mount Rushmore is a display of white supremacy. There's no saving this country if Biden gets elected. I think he's right. I think it's just... people need to know that Biden's staff is donating to Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter money is going to Biden's campaign. Whether Biden's aware of it or not, that would be interesting to note. But that is exactly what happens. And that is exactly who's pulling the strings behind his inability to string his thoughts together. The people that are behind him who will be actually running things are really bad people.
Who do you think he'll pick for his VP?
I don't know. It'll be, I still wonder, because Barack Obama's kind of been pulled in, you wonder if Michelle Obama won't jump in, just to make sure. Just that final, dagger
You mean
Trump.
As VP?
Well,
no,
yeah.
I mean, did I ask that sarcastically?
Did
I come across that way?
Yeah. Yes, I do mean that.
Okay,
only,
you and Ed Vitagliano.
Because...
I told Ed, I think there's a 0% chance that Michelle Obama. I tell you what, I will buy Sandy dinner and her husband Bruce steak dinner.
You're too cheap. No, you're too cheap. I want to go to bed.
Okay, at Ruth Chris. How about that? Okay.
There we go.
Okay, now we're talking a couple hundred bucks right there.
Remember that the communist theme is by any means necessary. That's one of their famous mantras.
By
any means necessary. She could win and then resign. They make it up as they go along.
That would be a smart tactical move on their part. I agree with that. But does Michelle Obama want to be president? No. Or vice president? No. Because I've said before, she's on yachts with George Clooney.
Yeah.
Okay? She is living the good life. She's got a boatload of money. They got a couple, three houses. I mean, they're living the socialist life to its fullest, and she's a celebrity, and she can write books and speak, and so I just don't see she's not indicated in any way that she's interested in that. But stranger things have happened, and I do think Sandy, she could put her name on the ticket, and then when the election comes, if the Biden Michelle Obama ticket were to win, then she resigns.
And then Nancy Pelosi becomes president, or the vice president, or the president. Depends on who's...
Anyway, let's not even fathom this. Okay?
We probably should.
Go charismatic and say we don't receive this. Okay? All right? We don't receive this.
Please don't receive it.
I do not need charismatic friends and listeners telling me... They laughed at that one. Okay. All right. Thank you, Sandy.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Talk to you soon. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I've got Baptist jokes. I got Presbyterian jokes. I got Methodist jokes. I got charismatic jokes. Just depends on who I need to offend today. I got one joke that offends all of them. But I'll tell you about that later.
Okay.
You're listening to Today's Issues. Walker's with me. Fred's with me. Ray is in Kansas City. We're in Tupelo. We thank you for listening to AFR. Next story, Fred.
Yeah, we need to be praying for folks in Hong Kong. because today China has passed basically a national, what they call a national security law. And what that means for Hong Kong is that Beijing, if Beijing assesses that a person is involved with subversive or secessionist aims, in other words, you're out there protesting, we think this is your goal, they'll throw you in jail and throw away the key. This has happened. It's been warned about. This is, goes back to the protests that have been occurring. I want to play a little bit of the Hong Kong protesters. This is actually from, I think, about a year ago, but this kind of expresses the sentiments of the people of the street on Hong Kong. Cut number five.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
What a difference in the protesters here in this country, and the don't equate the two at all, folks. The protesters in Hong Kong are out there trying to maintain the freedom that they were told they would have under that initial agreement with China many years ago. You would have two separate entities, even though Hong Kong, the Brits gave Hong Kong back to China. What was it, 1997, I think that occurred. But now China is saying, no, we're going to take you over and we're going to punish you. We're going to treat you like anybody on the streets of Beijing who disagrees with us. This is China. This is what a lot of people are saying. We had the demonstration of what China is all about with the COVID-19, releasing that to the world and not telling the world about it. And now this. This is China. These are wicked, wicked people in charge of the government there. And Hong Kong, the battle there is about to be lost. And people may lose their lives because I don't think the protests are going to stop because of what happened in Beijing today.
Yeah, Ray, you've been over there multiple times to China. And this is China just, they always seem to be advancing their power, advancing their control across the world.
Right. You know, Walker, the whatever else you can say about the people in Beijing, the president and the Politburo and all of that, they know what they're doing. They have always had it on their agenda from the time they made that deal with the British to have that two systems thing. They always looked to a day when they could crush all dissent in Hong Kong. And this has been the perfect moment. They know, look, we're not at this point, we're not going to go to war over Hong Kong, right? We're not going to drop the bombs or send the troops in there. And they know that. And they're just making the political calculation that the world is going to look the other way. And that, I think, brings us back, Fred, to your point about those protesters. From today onward now, you're taking your life in your hand if you live in Hong Kong and go out and protest on the streets, because the government has given itself the power to crush you, crush your family, destroy your career. I'm not saying they couldn't do that before, because it's China. They can do what they want, right? But now they've given themselves legal cover. So God bless those protesters, because when we talk about people standing up for freedom, that's what they are doing in Hong Kong, and we wish them well. Wow.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy was on Fox and Friends this morning, and as this news was breaking, he was being interviewed, and this is what he had to say about how the world should react to this. Cut number one.
Not only did China lie to the entire world so thousands of people have died, they put their name on a piece of paper of a treaty of how they would handle Hong Kong for 50 years, and now they just showed they would never keep their word. When they built the islands and they told Obama that they'd never weaponize them,
they did.
They lied there too. When they steal our technology and say they do not, they lie there too. When they send people over into our universities and we have to arrest them when they're getting on the airplane with our secrets, they lie then too.
And
they lie when they paid for the Harvard professor to steal the secrets inside the technology that he was working on.
Yeah, on and on and on it goes. And Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, went on to say it is time for U.S. companies that still have manufacturing outlets in China, shut them down, bring it back home here to North America. Enough of pussyfooting, playing footsies with the Chinese. They are bad, bad people. End it.
Yeah, President Trump's campaign is going to use this and many other instances against Biden, because Biden for years, I mean, look, the U.S., under U.S. leadership, we've let China basically run the show on the world stage for decades. This isn't just a Democrat thing. Even under Bush and others, this has happened. So, and especially under Biden's watch. So this is President Trump's going to use this against Biden for campaign purposes, and he should.
And he should.
You know, I'm waiting for the woke NBA stars.
Yes.
Like LeBron James, who's a champion of you know, human rights here in America. The NBA is making a lot of money off their relationship with China. And so it's neutered. The NBA is woke here in the U.S., right? But they go to communist totalitarian China, which oppresses people and persecutes people and kills people, and the NBA doesn't mind making a dollar, a lot of dollars, off of China. And it's that way with, if you notice, it's that way with a lot of the woke, quote, progressive crowd. They don't have much to say about totalitarian governments around the world. And makes you wonder, is that where this road ultimately leads, that they want to take? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just thought I'd bring that up, because usually I never will forget watching Steve Kerr. Do y'all know who he is?
Oh, basketball player?
Yeah. Well, he's the head coach, of the Golden State Warriors.
I'm thinking of Steph Curry.
Well, he plays for
That's his coach, yeah.
Oh.
So Steve Kerr played for the Bulls back in the, what, 80s, 90s?
Yeah, played with Michael.
Yeah, Michael Jordan, very well-known NBA player for those teams, those championship teams. Anyway, he's about as woke as you can get, okay? Very smart guy, very articulate guy. But he is he's a far lefty. But I remember a few months ago he was asked about the NBA's oppression, I mean the Chinese oppression of their citizens, and he like it. You remember that interview, Ray?
Yeah.
Acted like a deer in headlights. And then
he
acted like, I'll have to study up on that. I don't really know much about that.
Yeah.
it's not funny, but these. You do wonder.
They're making millions. They're making millions the NBA. Off the deals in China. Millions.
Yeah. So they're really, when they speak about, quote, human rights over here in the U.S. and social justice, it only matters to them where they can make money off of it, which is capitalism, right, which they're supposedly opposed to in many respects. I'm talking about the woke crowd. So we'll see there, but I was just reminded of the NBA's position with China. They really bow the knee to communist China, all the while being for social justice here in the U.S.
And we need to remind people that the Constitution, if you want to call it, of Black Lives Matter, capital letters there, as we've talked about a couple of times, their leadership admits that they are trained Marxists.
Yeah.
Their agenda is the same as the agenda of the leaders in Beijing. That's what they want for this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is not an exaggeration.
Because
that's what they want.
It is Marxist to control China.
Yes.
Yep.
And the Black Lives Matter organization says unapologetically that they are Marxist, trained Marxist.
Yes.
We're talking again, as we always say, about Black Lives Matter in caps, the organization, not Black Lives Matter, the sentiment. Okay. Just to distinguish there. And I don't think a lot of people know the difference or... That's part of the problem.
Yes.
All right, we shall return in 5 minutes. Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
Steve Jordahl on deck.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.